Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for which our purpose is to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time we have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, certainly we'd like to hear from you. Maybe you have a Bible question, maybe a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program. Certainly we'd like for you to submit it to us for us to consider. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, most are familiar with these chilling words from Satan to God about Job. In Job 1, verses 9 beginning, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." You know, Satan's charge was that Job was only serving God because God protected him. But once that protection was taken away, Job would not be so eager to serve God. And yet we know that Job indeed kept his integrity, though he suffered greatly. This challenge is not lost on us today, but we need to evaluate our own motive for serving the Lord. When we're faced with struggles and we begin questioning our circumstances, will we still be dedicated in our service to the Lord? What is the Christian's motivation in serving God? Is it the reward of being with God in heaven? Or maybe is it the avoidance of hell? Well, could it be both? Is there not something more? You know, there is no denying that both reward and punishment serve as motivators. And yet, while we would never deny that we ought to want to be with God, and that we should always want to avoid hell at all costs, there is more to be considered. I want us in our study to consider at least three more ways to think about the proper motivation for us to have in serving God. Our first motivation or incentive is founded upon love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." You know, when we recognize his love for us and how much he has done for us out of his grace and love, we certainly ought to respond with love. And it's only proper. The incentive here is not one of reward or punishment, but it's really more that of humble submission in response to God's grace. And we know what God's grace is. Grace is having something done for us that we did not deserve to have done. See, the greatest commandment we find in Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 29, Jesus said, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So here in what we see is the greatest commandment is to love God. And notice it's to love God with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the strength, and with all the mind. This means that we choose to obey Him as an acknowledgement of His grace toward us. And you remember the statement that Jesus made in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Truly, a motivation for our serving God needs to be, and it ought to be, love. But a second incentive, a second motivation, that needs to be based upon fear. You know, the Bible teaches us to fear the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then we'll go to chapter 9, of Proverbs, notice verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And also, Solomon made this statement in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So what do we learn from these verses about fear? Well, it's the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. And it is called the whole duty of man. Fear. You know, while fear... And normally when we think of fear, we think of it in a trembling sense. But while fear is involved in wanting to avoid hell, the fuller sense of fear involves reverence. You see, if we recognize who God really is, and that is, He is the great and almighty Creator, worthy of all praise, then we will know that we must honor and respect Him out of sheer reverence. So the incentive, the motive, is to do what's right. And this will involve giving proper honor to God. And after all, God deserves honor. He deserves it the most. So out of respect for God, we must fear Him, and this fear will mean that we will desire to obey Him. But then a third motive, a third incentive, it's really quite related to the first that we talked about, love. And this third motivation is grounded in gratitude. You know, gratitude is the quality or it's the attitude of thankfulness. And this all comes from an appreciation for what somebody has done. See, given all that God has done, from giving us a physical life, remember in Acts 17, in verse 25, concerning God, He gives to all life, breath, and all things. So in all things physical, God has given to us, and He has provided eternal life through the salvation that He has made possible for us to have, the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice of His Son. God's grace is seen in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What motivated God to give his Son love. Now that God has manifested his love, as we saw a moment ago, we ought to love God. And how do we do that? By the keeping of his commandments. But in all of this, we see what has been done for us. And so, when we realize what God has done for us in our physical lives and in providing salvation, how can we not be thankful to him? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, that's what we need to be doing, giving thanks. Thanks for the fact that everything that we have is because God has given it to us. So, you know, being thankful is not based on wanting a reward, nor is it based on the fear of punishment. It is instead based on the appreciation that someone has done something wonderful for us. And in what we're talking about here, God has, through his grace, done for us what we never could do for ourselves. See, if this does not demand gratitude from us, what will? See, perhaps this is why those that do not honor God or give thanks become futile in their thinking. Let us not be like Romans 1, verse 21 describes these people. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. See, our response to God's grace is based not only on love, but also on thankfulness. If we cannot respond this way, we don't want forgiveness, or neither do we want salvation. See, instead of framing the motivation question in terms of reward and punishment, and both of which are very real, perhaps we should focus on as much as showing love, reverence, and gratefulness for God and for what he has done. This is not simply a duty, but it's a grand privilege. And I want us to end our study this morning looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Friends, let us examine our motivation for serving God and realize, indeed, there are a number of great things that need and should motivate us. We appreciate you listening. We see your time is gone. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.